praise team led us in our time of worship. They sang songs that invited the presence of the Spirit of the living God to be with us, with a desire for him to wash over us, with a desire for him to lead us, to guide and direct us, understanding that when he does what he does it well. We've been reminding you that you and I are under new management. That any man or woman who is in Christ Jesus has received the Spirit of the living God to dwell with us, to lead us, to guide us, and to direct us. That we are no longer walking under the influence of our flesh or our sinful nature, but instead, we are walking under both the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse number 9, reminds you and me that we are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. Then the Apostle Paul says, that's if the Spirit of God lives in you. Amen. Then he says, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, then you do not belong to Christ. That means that each one of us who profess a faith and confidence in Jesus Christ, we've been given the promised Holy Spirit to live with us and to dwell with us, that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly. Every promise that God has made is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. That's why you can speak the name of Jesus over every situation, because in him there is the fulfillment of every word ever spoken by God. But Jesus said this, when I leave, I am not going to leave you as orphans, but I'm going to send one back to you to be a counselor, to be a comforter, one to walk with you, so that the same way he was with his disciples, that one would be with you and me. And brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that we have not been left to our own vices. You and I have not been left to our own strength. We've not been left to our own power, but that we've been given a helper. We've been given one who wants us to be successful, successful in being all that God has purposed us to be and to do all that God wants us to do. For you and I are God's workmanship. If you have not memorized Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, you need to download that to your data bank, because you need to be reminded that you are God's workmanship. It doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. It doesn't matter what you experience. You are still God's workmanship. Think about this. If I had a $100 bill in my hand right now that I had crumbled up, stepped on, it was dirty, but you knew it was a real $100 bill, nothing would stop you from receiving that $100 bill if I came and offered it to you. It wouldn't matter that it was wrinkled up, crinkled up, dirty. It wouldn't matter. You would still know that if you took that $100 bill that was real and not counterfeit, you could take it to whatever place receives cash and you can exchange it for something of equal value. Or brothers and sisters, I want you to know, it doesn't matter what you've been through, amen? It doesn't matter what stuff you might have on you, what stains from living this life may be upon you. It doesn't change the value of who you are. You are God's workmanship, and you were created in Christ Jesus to do works that God prepared in advance for his people to do. So that means that when you've fallen, he can help you get back up again. Amen? That means that when you are broken, he is the one that can put you back together again. I always love saying, I wish somebody had told Humpty Dumpty about Jesus. All the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put it back together again. But I know somebody who is able to take broken pieces and want you to know that Jesus can put you back together again, and then he gives you his spirit so that you can then walk according to his will and according to his way.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. So you and I have the Spirit of God who lives inside of us to help us to fulfill God's purposes in our lives. We've talked about some aspects of the Holy Spirit, and let me remind you that these are not all inclusive. These are just enough to get your thirst worked up so you can be reminded of, well, wait a minute, you mean that's what's going on inside of me, even though you can't see it, it's happening. We talked about the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, how he comes in and he transforms. That word transform means to change, right? Amen. He comes in and he changes you from what you were to what you should be. We talked about the energizing power of the Holy Spirit and how he takes that which appears to be dead, it was dead, but he comes and he makes it alive. That's the energizing power of the Holy Spirit. You ought to be getting excited because there is no situation that you might encounter, that you might experience, that the power of the living God who lives on the inside of you cannot overcome, that he cannot awaken. Why? Because there's energizing power in the Holy Spirit. And when you release him to go to work in your life, he will do for you what you never ever expected or imagine, because he says, I'll do much more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. Amen?
Amen.
Then we talked about the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit, because it is important that you and I don't allow anything to clog up our systems, because we've been designed to be conduits of God's love, conduits of God's grace, conduits and ambassadors for the good news of Jesus Christ. And nothing happens worse than you and I allowing ourselves to become dirtied up by the things of this world, dirtied up by unforgiveness, dirtied up by sin that is unconfessed, dirtied up by things that are not becoming of a conduit, of an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit keeps us clean. Why? Because he's a river of living water on the inside of you, bubbling up on the inside of you. And with that constant flow, he keeps you clean, so that you can then be an effective conduit, an effective servant of the living God. So his power can not only work on you, but it can also work through you. Amen. Amen. And then we talked about the renewing power or the restoring power of the Holy Spirit. That means that in those areas where you've been broken down, yeah, he can come and restore you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you used to watch that show. It was, I think when I was watching it, it was on MTV some years ago, and it was, I think it was MTV, Pimp My Ride. You remember that show where someone would have an automobile that was in need of restoration, but they didn't have the resources or the money to restore it the way they wanted it to be restored. And so they would write in and send the video in, trying to entice this group that specialized in restoration. And you know, they would bring in this old broke down vehicle that had been through it. And by the time these guys finished and they brought that thing out, brand spanking new, better than what it was before, they had restored it. Oh, see, the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you, he's a restorer. He can take that which has been rusted out. Glory to God. He can take that which has been broken, which has been destroyed, and he can restore it. And what I like about his restoration, he makes it better than it was before. You can't expect to come in contact with Jesus, to come in contact with the Spirit of the living God, and think you're going to be restored to what you were. No, you're going to be better. We talked about Naaman, that man who had leprosy, and when he walked in obedience to what the prophet said through the word of God, and he went and dipped himself into the Jordan River seven times, even though Naaman had leprosy before he started to dip. It says that after the seventh time when he came up, it says his skin had been restored. But wait a minute, it wasn't restored to what it was when he had leprosy. It says it went back to like when he was a newborn baby. I'm telling you, when you think about the restoring power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life, it should help you imagine great things. Will you do me a favor and remove your box from around God?
Come on, say that.
You know, some of us got a box around God. We want to tell him how to do what it is we want him to do. And don't you know that when you start to limit God and trying to tell him how to do and what to do, he said, well, I'm going to give you what you want. Mm-hmm. And what you and I have got to learn how to do is say, God, I trust you enough so that when you go through this restoration process, you're going to do it the way you want to do it, and you're going to give the result that you want to give, and I'm quite sure that it's going to be better than what I had hoped for. It's going to be better than what I had asked. And you and I have learned, we've got to learn to just stop putting a box around God, trying to tell him what to do like we know better than he does.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let him have his way. Here's the good news. The Spirit of the living God helps you to be free so that God can do what he wants to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I almost feel like soccer, but I got one more. I got one more, right? Because we talked about all of these aspects of the Spirit of the living God. And listen, he's living inside of you.
Yes.
The same one who raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you. Oh, can we just get that in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits that he's on the inside of you? And his desire is to work a work in you. His desire is to fulfill God's word in you. His desire is to make you look like you're supposed to look, like a child of the living King.
Yes.
He's in you and he's working, and you and I have got to do whatever we must do to let him have his way.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
You got to know that he's in you.
Yes.
That he's not called you to do the things that he wants you to do in your own strength and power, but he has resourced you. Spirit is your resource. Alive. Amen. The component or the aspect that I want to talk about today is actually the loving power of the Holy Spirit. The loving power of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, Jesus responds to a question about what is the greatest command ever given. Jesus' response to that command was that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then he said, the second command is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. He said these two commands, these are the greatest, in that all of the law and all of the prophets came on these two commands, to love God and to love others. Well, God would not tell you to do something without empowering you to do it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And so then what he does is he gives us the loving power of his Holy Spirit to help us love. First, love God, and then love others. He's not called us to love others. He's not called us to love him or to love others in our own strength and energy, in our own humanity. He's simply given us these bodies that we may be an expression of his great love to the world. He's given us these bodies so that we can function here. Because this world is a material world.
Amen.
He says he wants you to know that he has resourced you so that you can then be and do all that he called you to be and do. Jesus said this. He says, I want you to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. Amen? Again, Jesus wouldn't give us a command. He wouldn't tell us to do something without giving us the resource to do it, without giving us the strength to do it, without giving us the power to do it. Romans chapter 5, verse number 5, says these words. And it talks about this. Hope does not disappoint. Wait a minute, why doesn't hope disappoint? He says, because he has poured his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. And he says that if you've got the kind of love, the loving power of the Holy Spirit working inside of you, that you then become an agent of hope. Oh, that's good. Amen? That's good. That means that when you encounter what other folks call hopeless situations, as an agent of hope, you can then give hope because you are connected to the giver of hope who can work all things out according to his power. Amen? And so he says that love, you've been filled with God's love by the power of his Holy Spirit, so that you can then carry out his great works. You and I have been told, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what love looks like. Why don't you turn there with me for just a moment? 1 Corinthians 13, in Paul's description of love, is sandwiched between chapter 12 and chapter 14, which talks about spiritual gifts. In that chapter 12, Paul is talking about how each one of us have been given spiritual gifts for the edification, for the building up of the body. In chapter 14, he begins to expand specifically on the gifts of tongues as well as the gift of prophecy. He's put chapter 13 in the middle of chapter 12 and chapter 14 to really make a statement and a point. He says that you can have all the spiritual gifts in the world that come from the Spirit of the living God. He says that you can speak in tongues and you can prophesy and you can do great miracles. He says you can do all of these things, but if you don't have love, they are meaningless. Amen? They mean nothing. It is so Paul is saying, listen, you need to understand that the Spirit of God has come to resource you. The Spirit of God has come to equip you with gifts from above so that you can edify the body. But don't you ever start to place the gifts above the love. Amen? That the fundamental thing that you've got to operate in is love. And what I want you to know is that the Spirit comes, and when he sees somebody operating in love, he empowers you. He helps you. He gives you what you need to go the distance. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 4, Paul says this, love is patient. So the Spirit of God empowers you to be patient. Love is kind. So if you wasn't kind before, if you claim to have the Spirit of God, what I should start seeing working in your life now is kindness. Amen? Yeah. The Spirit of God does not envy. Amen? Yeah. Excuse me. Love does not envy. So the Spirit of God helps you not to envy. Amen? It helps you know. You know what envy is. I see what you got, and I want it to a point of I turn my nose up and hate on you because you got it. Envy says, I'm going to celebrate you. Amen? So the Spirit of the living God comes and helps you not to envy. Love does not boast. What? The Spirit of God comes so that you will not be boastful. That means that if you have the gifts talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you're doing the work of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you are walking in your calling. You don't boast in what God has enabled you to do because you understand that all good gifts come from God.
Yeah.
Amen? And instead of boasting, you celebrate. Amen? Instead of boasting, you give praise unto the Lord. Instead of boasting, you give thanks unto the Lord because you understand that if it were not for him working in me, I would not be able to do the things that I'm doing. See, that is about you and I understanding that all that we have comes from him. Listen, you may be breathing right now, but if he wasn't allowing your respiratory system to function the right way, there could be all the oxygen in the room, but it would mean nothing to you if he didn't give you the right functioning system. Amen?
Amen.
And when you learn that, you start to say, let me celebrate and let me praise and let me give thanks unto God for what he has done. And it keeps you from boasting when you are being successful. It keeps you from boasting because you're saying, not unto me, not unto us, but to you, O Lord, be the glory. He says, it is not proud. Love is not proud. So the Holy Spirit keeps you from walking in pride. And just as a footnote, you need to know that pride is that thing that God hates. You heard it. It's a scripture. Pride goes before a fall. Well, the Holy Spirit don't, he doesn't want you falling. And so he says, I'm going to empower you and keep you from walking in pride. Amen? Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. And it is not easily angry. I put all those together because, you know, we were sitting here and talk about being rude, self-seeking, and being easily angered for a while. But he's saying that love does not operate in that fashion. Love is not rude. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing worse than a person talking about they belong to the kingdom of God, but they are full of rudeness.
Amen.
Wow. Well, you go ahead and stay in that kingdom. I think I'd be better off over here. See, the Spirit of God says that you and I are to be witnesses for the kingdom of God. And therefore, we've got to have that type of attitude, that type of persona that communicates what he is all about. Love is not rude, and so the Spirit of God is not going to participate in rudeness.
Amen.
It's not self-seeking. It's not just about me. And then it says it's not, love is not easily angered. See, when I talk about the loving power of the Holy Spirit, and if this is what love is, the Holy Spirit then is going to help me reflect these characteristics, because if I try to do them in my own flesh, I do not have the capacity. I need his Spirit to help me. That means when I sense rudeness coming up inside of me, can I help you? You need to learn how to sense what's going on. Just because it comes to your mind doesn't mean it's got to come out.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody doesn't have to know what you're thinking. Amen? See, he says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is useful for building others up. Which means that when you are about to be rude, you're not building anybody up. And I understand that there are situations, there are moments that make you want to be rude.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
But the anger of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. Even though you and I sometimes think that, well, if I can match their rudeness to let them know that, well, you ain't all of that. No. No, that is when you call on the help of the Spirit of the living God to help you so that whatever comes out of your mouth becomes glorifying to him. It will help you because if you do that, you won't have to spend as much time repenting after you have chosen to walk in your own way. When you walk in obedience, you free God up to operate in your experience. You free the Holy Spirit up to operate and show himself mighty and strong on your behalf. The word of God says that if you just be still, he'll fight your battles. Sometimes we're getting in the way of what God wants to do because we won't be still and we're not reflecting what he wants us to do. The Holy Spirit, the loving power of the Holy Spirit helps us then to reflect these characteristics so that when we begin to walk in them, he is free then to do what he desires to do. Can I read just a thank you for your permission? You knew I was going to go anyway, right? It says, and it keeps no record of wrong. Love keeps no record of wrongs. So that means the Holy Spirit helps you to purge and get rid of the wrongs done against you. I know I probably need to park there for a little while because we've got habits that help us remember wrongs. Amen. Amen, we do. We got things that will help us remember when somebody did that thing. Because, you know, we've got that saying, first time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me, because I should have saw it coming. I should have had a record of that wrong and prevented you from doing that again. You know what the Spirit of God does say? The Word of God does say that we ought to be as wise as serpent, but as gentle as doves. He does tell us to walk with discernment and not to walk into things in a foolish, unwise way. But that's a huge difference between keeping records of wrong. Amen? Sometimes we keep records of wrongs and we remind ourselves of what that individual has done to us to hurt us. And when we're reminding ourselves of that record of wrong, we're actually hurting ourselves because what we're doing is we're disturbing something that was in the process of healing. Amen? You ever had an injury where it was healing and you decided that you want to go and mess with it? That's why they have to put casts on broken bones. It's not just to hold them. It's to keep you from messing with them.
Yes.
Because you'll be like, oh, I feel okay today. You feel okay, but that thing ain't healed. You go out trying to do something that is not ready for, and you're going to bring it in. But with a cast, when they put a cast on it, that cast will hold it in place until healing is complete. Then you can rebuild strength and begin to function all over again. When you and I start digging around and stuff, trying to keep records of wrongs, we are preventing the healing power of the Spirit of God to be at work in our injuries, because our injuries are not intended to make us limp and weak, and they're not intended to cause us to malfunction. What they are used for is to strengthen us. Amen? Because we become overcomers. They are to remind us that what you meant for evil, God used it for good. And so instead of me remembering it in a negative way, I'm going to remember it in the sense of I remember when, but God, woo! Glory. But God. But God. And then it helps me that when that individual who may have offended me, who may have hurt me, when they stand in need of help, I'm not going to be standing there holding a grudge, because the loving power of the Holy Spirit has washed away all the residue. And now here I am. I am a conduit for God's love, a conduit for God's mercy. To say to them, God loves you too. God loves you too, and he desires to be in relationship with you. The Spirit of God helps us then to have these type of characteristics at work in us only as you and I walk in obedience to him. Verse number 6 says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, love always trusts, love always hopes, love always perseveres. Yes. In fact, love never fails. The loving power of the Holy Spirit then takes you, the believer, who is walking in obedience to God, and helps these characteristics come alive in your life, come alive in your experience, so that you then become an expression of the Spirit of God working in you. You've been called to walk in His power. You've been called to do His bidding. And love becomes the greatest agent of change. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I should have got some amens on that one. Love becomes the greatest agent of change. If you can learn to love people right, it has a way of bringing about change. And because the Holy Spirit desires to see men and women in right relationship with God, He's going to empower you to love like you could not do in your own strength. Love is an agent of change, demonstrated best by Jesus Christ. Amen? It was His love that changed you and me. Amen? It was not His condemnation. It was His love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son." Right? Why did He do it? Huh? Because He loved us? Huh?
Whoever believes in Him
will not perish, but have everlasting life. His love was an expression of, I don't want you to be condemned, I want you to be saved.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. So it says that He loved us enough to do that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 has a similar expression. It says this: this is how we know what love is. That Jesus laid down His life. Amen. God gave His Son as an expression of His love. Jesus Christ laid down His life as an expression of His love. Why? So that none of us would be condemned, but that we would be saved. So you mean this thing about love is about saving, it is about restoration, it is about making right, it is about reconciling and getting people connected to the Creator of life. It is about a healing component. And when you and I can learn how to love through the power of the Holy Spirit, it becomes this amazing agent of change. Dr. King said it this way. He says, "You defeat evil, hate, with what? Love." Amen?
Amen?
You don't return hate for hate. What do? You love. How do you know? How many of you know, and I know all of y'all know, that when you're being hated on, it's hard to love?
Yeah.
Can I be honest?
Amen.
Can I tell the truth? When you being hated on, that's when all you wants to come out.
Amen.
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 Let me show you.
Amen.
I ain't always been saved.
Amen.
Shoot.
That's true. Say that.
Right? That's because you being hated on. But the Spirit of God will help you say, "I ain't always been saved, but now I am." And when I wasn't saved, I didn't have the same power working in me. And so I couldn't do then what I'm about to do now. Because back then I would have had to defend myself. Back then I would have had to stoop down to your level. Back then I would have had to treat you like you treat me. But now, because the loving power of the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me, because I've been saved, I've been sanctified, I've been redeemed, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, right now, I can do something different.
Yes. Yes.
Amen? Because the power of God's love is flowing through me, and He will not allow me to act like I used to act. Love becomes the greatest agent of change. You and I will allow His Spirit there to move and to operate in us. He'll help us to do what all the talking that we like to do can't do. Amen?
Amen.
You know, his love will allow us to bring about change in circumstances and in situations that humanly possible, or humanly thinking, we don't see them as being possible. But when his love gets involved, it brings about change. Brothers and sisters, I'm just telling you that God so loved the world that he sent his son. That Jesus so loved us that he laid down his life. And the Holy Spirit was so in love with Jesus that he raised him up again. Woo! Y'all don't get it. Come on, man. And if he loved Jesus like that and raised him up, and you know that he loved you, what is he going to do for you? Will he raise you up? Will he raise you up? It doesn't matter what the situation is. His love will raise you up. His power will raise you up. That's what the grave demonstrates. Jesus is there. He's dead. His body, he has given up his life. But the Spirit of God comes and raises him up again. And that same power is in you and me. Amen. And work to be an expression of God's love. And so it says hope never disappoints. Because God has poured his love into our hearts by his Spirit. That means that now you can begin to look at situations that you once thought were hopeless. And you can begin to look at them and know that there is a power at work that can fix that hopeless situation. Amen?
Amen?
Let me see if I can bring it a little closer to home for some folks. You know how sometimes you have wayward children? What a wayward child means, what that means is that you raise them up a certain way, but then they seem to drift. And they're doing things that you said that's not what I taught you. Or it's not in accordance with the principles of God. Instead of you becoming weighed down and completely discouraged and expending your energy in areas where you should not be expending them, allow yourself to begin to look at them through the eyes of love, through the eyes of hope, and to know that if God loved us enough that he sent his son Jesus, and Jesus loved us enough that he laid down his life, and if the Spirit loved us enough and Jesus that he raised him up again, you do know that's important, right? Yeah. The raising up is important. Don't you ever get stuck in Jesus died for me. Wait a minute. God raised him up.
Amen.
Don't get stuck right there. God raised him up, right? That's the difference. Man, there are a lot of people that have died. Amen. And by the way, all of them still. Amen. The Apostle Peter said, listen, I can assure you that King David, when he wrote the psalm, he said, I can assure you that King David, if you were to go and you were to go and look in King David's tomb, you're going to find his bones. Said, because as much as God loved King David, he didn't raise King David from the dead. But when it comes to Jesus, there is no one like him. Not only did he die, perfect, sinless, God raised him from the dead. Now that's good news for you and me, because he's at work on our behalf. And it was God's love. It was an expression of God's love, not only to send Jesus, not only for Jesus to die, but for the Spirit of the living God to raise him from the dead. It was an expression of his love that you and I may have hope in this world in which we live in. And if you can trust him enough to have hope for yourself, what he says now is take that same hope that I've given you and love somebody out of their situation. Amen. You might be asking the question, and rightfully so, how do I do that? How do I do that? Well, if the Spirit of the living God has given you the power to love, it's going to also give you the power to endure. Can I tell you that the first place you start, you don't move until you get an answer? With a wayward child or a hopeless situation, the first place that you start, I'll show you. Now somebody might have to help me get back up. This is really where you start. Is in a posture of prayer. Because in it, you're acknowledging this thing is bigger than I am. In it, you're acknowledging, oh, I need your wisdom and insight. In it, you're acknowledging that, oh, if anything is going to change about this situation, you're going to have to be the one to do it. And because of my love, I am willing to stay on my knees as long as I need to until we see change happen. Amen? And the Spirit of the living God will give you the endurance to cry out on a regular basis, to intercede on a regular basis for that one who might be in that hopeless situation. And because of your love, you're willing to do it because you want to see them what? Better. You want to see them healed. You want to see them restored. And it is because of your love that you're going to stay right there in front of him, acknowledging him as the source of strength, the source of power, the source of restoration, and not trying to do it in your own strength. And when you stay there, it is something about someone crying out to God with a sincere heart that God in his compassion hears the cry of the righteous. God in his compassion hears you, and he moves in ways that you don't understand. See, the reason you got to stay there is because sometimes God is moving and you want to jump up and get involved. God said, no, 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 I'm working right now. You be still and stay where you are. You got to stay there until he finishes his work. And you got to stay there with the expectation that as I call on the name of God, as I cry out to him with hope, as I cry out to him with expectation, as I cry out to him according to his word, I'm going to stay here in faith, believing that God is able to do exactly what he said he can do, and that there is no situation too hard for God. And I'm willing to stay there, God, and labor and fight on behalf of my loved one, God, because I want to see you bring about change, restoration, and reconciliation. And it's done how? By your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, no, I'm gonna try. Praise God. Amen. 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 And so then, it is the loving power of the Holy Spirit that moves you and me to act on behalf of others, that equips you and me to love like Jesus did, that helps you and me then to walk in obedience to what God said. And when we start to operate in the loving power of the Holy Spirit, then he begins to energize, he begins to transform, he begins to work in situations and circumstances so that his name is glorified. Brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you, we've not been called to walk in our own strength and power, but instead, we've been called to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, because we are under new management. Amen. Can you just thank God for being under new management? Amen. Can you just thank him that he doesn't leave us to our own resources, but that he has thoroughly equipped us to do what he has called us to do. Father, here we are. We are bowed before you. Gratitude and with appreciation for your Spirit who lives in us. We pause and we repent for when we have not yielded to his prompting, when we have not yielded in obedience to his leading. And when we have tried to maintain management over our own lives, because we know in so doing, we have prevented him from operating fullness of his power. It is our desire, Lord, that he have his way with each one of us. Therefore, we repent. And we ask that you would forgive us for our acts of disobedience. Forgive us for our stubbornness. Forgive us for our independence. And as we receive your forgiveness, help us to start afresh and new with letting him direct and lead and guide us, so that he has willing vessels to work with. Yes, we offer you our hands, so that you can use them to your glory. We offer you our tongues, so that you can use our mouths to speak, declare your word, declare hope. We offer to you our feet, the instruments of our bodies, and we declare that you can have us to go where you want us to go, and we'll be careful to put on the shoes of peace. We carry forth the good news that you love, that you are a lover. It's your desire to reconcile men to yourself. Yes, we present ourselves right now to living sacrifices made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ, acceptable by the power of your Spirit. Yes, we present ourselves and we simply say, you are free to use us, each one of us, according to your will. In our homes, Father, we appeal that the power, loving power of your Holy Spirit will be at work in each one of us. And our homes will become places where your love is manifest. Then we pray, God, that every area, every place that we walk to, where our feet are taken, that God, your love would be a trademark, a distinguishing feature. That what folks will remember about us is our capacity and ability to love. We want to represent you well. So, Holy Spirit, have your way. We thank you that you who live in us, you're greater than the one who lives in the world, so therefore we have victory, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, the people of God said amen.